Welcome to the Limitless Being Podcast. I am Danielle Sharkey, your host, here to be a guide on this journey of life. This is a space cultivated with the intentions of connection, vulnerability, spirituality, limitless knowledge, explorative conversations, and unlimited potential. I am here to spread love while activating freedom within the collective consciousness. I am a digital nomad, an entrepreneur, and a magnetic spiritual being here to help you activate your power so that you can cultivate the life of your dreams. This container I have created is a safe space for us all to have conversations which lead us toward liberation, acceptance, and radical love of yourself. If you have found this podcast, it is by no accident. You have been guided here because there's a part of you who's ready to stop making excuses and live the life you've imagined. So join me and my guests here every Thursday.
Before we dive into this episode, I just want to let you know that this is part two of last episode. So essentially, we're going to be diving right back into the conversation with Jess. She's the cycle syncing coach. She is a divine feminine coach. She is here for the awakening and the rising of the women, and also helps them to tap into the power of their cycles, their sexuality, their expression, and so much more. So this will be part two to last episode. Enjoy. We're going to dive right in.
Yeah, I do want to make sure that we finish up the cycle syncing.
Okay.
And then we'll get back to it. So where were we? Where were we?
I think I was kind of talking about the luteal phase.
Yeah.
So we finished talking about ovulation. The luteal phase is the third phase, fourth phase, I guess. Menstrual is the first. And you can have brain fog in your luteal phase. So that's why I'm like, wait a second, what phase is that? I should know this.
Where are we?
What planet am I on? I'm really struggling to remember at the moment.
So that's right before you're about to start menstruation.
Yeah, so this is the longest phase in the cycle. So this phase is like anywhere between 10 to 14 days typically. This is where the infamous PMS falls in and comes into the picture. So as a side note, PMS actually is avoidable. So this is something that I teach a lot about. PMS and period pain is all avoidable because it's all hormonal. It's all hormonally related. And so, you know, we are going to experience natural shifts during this phase because of the fact that like our estrogen nosedives and then our progesterone starts to rise. So our hormones do some pretty big things here. So it's normal that we'll feel maybe more tired or more sensitive or more emotional, but like how big that spectrum is going to depend on how balanced or imbalanced your hormones are, really. So this phase is the fall of the cycle. So like if you think about it's long, right? So if you think about the beginning of the luteal phase, right after you ovulate, you still kind of have the summer energy. Summer is ovulation. I don't think I mentioned that before. So you still have kind of like that summer energy. So the beginning of the luteal phase, you might still be like feeling pretty good. So, you know, you could still be doing some kind of more, you know, ramped up workouts. But then like as you start to progress into the luteal phase, this is when you kind of want to be like winding things down. This is when you start to make the shift back into like kind of introspection mode. This is when, from like a brain chemistry standpoint, we're really doing like really detail-oriented tasks, like organizational tasks, things that aren't outward, like with humans. That's the best time to do in this phase. So like, you know, in business, for example, this is a great phase to like do all your paperwork or like your admin stuff or just like, you know, this isn't like an idea creating phase necessarily, versus your first two phases are like idea generating, like big visions, like doing things. And then you can think of the luteal phase as like, this is like a time to either like put those things into action in like the very practical sense. You know, this is a time when you might feel inclined to like totally reorganize your closet, or It's very much about like getting things in order.
Yeah, tidy.
So that when you then move into your period, it's like clear.
You can chill.
Clean. Mm-hmm. You can chill. So like practical standpoint or practical tips, like I always encourage women to like, you know, just slow down on the workouts, move into things like low resistance training, low weights. You don't want to be doing any more like cardio or HIIT. Also because of the fact that our cortisol levels are naturally on the rise during this phase, and cortisol is our stress hormone. And the more cortisol you have, the more imbalanced your other hormones will be. And that's what causes PMS. So if you try and do really intense cardio in this phase of your cycle, your body actually thinks that you're going into like fight or flight mode, which kicks your cortisol production up, which increases your stress and anxiety levels, which actually is what can cause you also to gain weight, because the more cortisol you have, the more fat is stored around your belly button hips. So this is why a lot of times women are like, I'm working out all the time. I don't understand why I'm not losing weight, but they have high cortisol, which causes us to store fat. So roundabout way, this is why it's really important to like ramp things down, because you don't want to be putting like more stress on your body during this period. You want to have like really nutrient dense foods, focusing on things like complex carbs, like quinoa and sweet potatoes and whole grains are amazing.
Love sweet potatoes.
Oh, so good. So good. These are big for helping with cravings, because remember before we were talking about how your body burns more calories. So you're going to be hungrier. So having foods that are going to keep you satiated are going to help you from like reaching for the processed, sugary, you know, not so great things.
Right.
Because the more unhealthy things that you eat in your luteal phase, that is what makes your periods not fun. So the more you can give your body like really nourishing foods in your luteal phase that are full of things like magnesium, vitamin B6, zinc, these are all minerals that really, really support your body and will help lessen your period cramps. So if you're eating a lot of foods that don't have any nutritional value in them, you're not supporting your hormones. It's not helping your body out. And then when you go into your period, that's when you're going to have really bad cramps, because you haven't built that foundation to like help your body. So, what else? Yeah. From like a sexual standpoint, this is when like foreplay is really important, even using like an organic lube, you know, like coconut oil or something, if you're not as wet as you normally would be because of the hormonal shifts. So just like, think of it as like TLC. This is like the phase in your cycle to really pamper your body, to like really like get the massage, you know, take the hot baths, like light the candles, have the slow evenings, you know, and then it's kind of take it easy. And then it's, you know, it's the perfect like segue back into your period where you're like, okay, now I'm going to take it down one more level before we start to ramp it back up again, you know?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So what do you feel like, at least from what you've seen for yourself or from clients as well, what do you feel like after somebody applies this starts to happen? What do they start to see happening in their bodies, their minds, their lives, etc.?
I mean, oh my gosh, like everything. Like, I mean, I have seen women go from having like zero sex drive to having like a libido just like totally like on fire again. I mean, I've seen women go from really struggling with their weight and like health issues to completely healing a help, not even just hormonal issues, but like so many other health issues as well, you know. I mean, just like I have a client that I was working with the other day, and like she's been using her cycle to help her set better boundaries. And so she's been setting these boundaries with her family based on her cycle. And it's so wild, because the other day she texted me and she was like, I just had my first like pain-free period. And a huge part of it was just the fact that she was setting these boundaries to give herself more space.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you set boundaries, you start to feel more empowered and more confident. And then you start making better decisions in every area. It's just, it's all so related. You know, from a physical standpoint, I mean, I think the two biggest selling points are less PMS and no period pain. You know, like I virtually had zero, I rarely ever have cramps,
same,
like, or anything. And that's how you can actually take advantage of, like, how, you know, your period. And so I think that just from, you know, that standpoint, your life becomes like so much more enjoyable because you're not bedridden or spending all of your energy trying to think about how to like get rid of your pain, you know?
Yeah.
But I think just from like an empowerment, self-love, self-acceptance, like, you know, a perfect example is like, I know, for example, every month, like clockwork, right around day 22, 23, like that's typically when I'm shifting into my luteal phase. And like, that's, it's like doomsday, basically. Like, it's like the craziest thing. Like, yeah, and that happened, this happened to me yesterday morning, right? I woke up, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel anxiety. I'm having all of these like worrisome thoughts.
Oh, and this is like weeks before your actual period.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So
yes.
I want to just hit that nail on the head really quickly because just intuitively, I've realized like I have PMS, like where breast sensitivity and growth and emotions and lethargy or just lower energy levels has started like a week or even a week and a half before my period. That's normal?
That's very normal. I mean, that's,
wow.
That's when we're shifting into the luteal phase. And so that's actually when all of that happens. And so it's like more, like most women experience more discomfort and things in the week and a half to week leading up to their period. Most women actually experience a lot of relief once they get on their period.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, well, like the world isn't ending. Like all of a sudden I can see clearly, right? Like the fog lifts.
And it's so, like a purge of the entire last month.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Energetically, yes. Physically, detoxification, yes. Emotional, stress. Yes. It's like a clearing from our vessel through our wounds.
Literally all coming out. And actually, I'm really glad you brought this up because this is another big thing with the luteal phase is like, if you're getting triggered in the luteal phase, I always like encourage women, like pay attention to that because like this is, it's, that's what this phase is all about. It's, you're meant to be triggered during this time so that you can see what isn't working for you so that when your period comes, you can make changes. You can release things. So like in your follicular phase, maybe you have a boundary that gets crossed and you're just like, yeah, I'm just like riding the high. Life is great. It doesn't really bother me. And maybe the same thing happens in your luteal phase and you're like, I will shame you, you know? And I'm like, that's for a reason. It's for a reason because it's meant to bring to your awareness like, oh, a boundary has been crossed and I'm actually not okay with it. And, you know, what do I need to do about it? And so it's a really, really powerful time. I always tell women, like, don't bypass the things that are triggering you and write it off just as PMS. Like, pay attention because there might actually be something there that you really need to kind of like tune into and dig into a little bit more, you know? And of course, like once you start cycle thinking for a longer period of time, you'll start to notice patterns. Like I noticed, like I was saying, every freaking cycle around day 22, 23, I wake up, I have anxiety. I'm like, my world is ending. Like, what am I even doing with my life? What is the purpose of my existence? Like I go through this, like I basically have an existential
crisis.
Yes. Every cycle. And
okay. I'm glad to know I'm not alone in that. And
you're not alone.
You're not alone. It's normal.
You're not alone. And I think that, so like yesterday this happened to me, you know, and I'm like, okay, like clockwork, here we go again. So like the whole day I spent sitting with myself being like, okay, is there legitimacy to some of these things that I'm feeling? Like, is there something that is not sitting right with me, that's not working, that I need to change and I need to adjust? Like, and, you know, I ended up sequestering my partner for like a 3-hour long conversation last night because I just had all of these things. I just needed to like, I was just like, I just needed to like express all of these things, you know? And
what a
some
good
cycles,
guy.
I know, he's like literally, he's an angel. He's an angel.
Oh my God. I'm so happy for you.
Angel. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
But like the fact that I also have this awareness of like, okay, this is typically how I feel around this time. I can ask myself the question, like, am I catastrophizing or is this something, right? And before I had any awareness of my cycle, I feel like if that would happen, I would always catastrophize because I was spiraling because there was no rhyme or reason. Like it was just seemingly random. And I would just be like, oh my God, maybe my world is ending, you know, versus now I'm like, all right, Jess, like put your feet in the earth, like burn some Palo Santo, put on some music, ground your ass. And like, see, like, is there something here or is it just like where you're at in your cycle? And you can almost right. like, you know, I feel like even that spiritual concept of like, are you the observer and the witness of your emotions and your feelings or are you like attached to them? Like cycle thinking literally helps you become an observer of your emotions and your feelings in so many ways because you start to notice how your feelings, emotions, all of these things change during your cycle. So then you're just like, okay, like for better or for worse, you know, now when I'm like riding a high in my ovulation phase, I'm also not like overly attached to that because I'm like, oh, this is amazing.
That's
I'm
going
to like ride this high, but I don't have an expectation that it's going to last for forever because right. I know in 6 days I'm going to be deep in my luteal phase and I'll probably be crying 3 times during the day. You know, like it just helps bring in this, like for me more than anything else, I'm like, it helps bring in this just self-love, self-awareness. Like it helps with emotional regulation and nervous system regulation and all of these things because you just start to get to know yourself on these really deep levels and you get to know your cycle and then you start to make sense of things and dots start to connect. And then you're like, oh, okay. Like there isn't something
crazy.
Inherently wrong with me.
Yes.
I'm not a lunatic.
I'm just a woman.
I'm just a woman.
I'm just a girl.
Oh,
that's so powerful. I can't wait to hear more women applying this to their lives. I picked it up and now it's like much more intuitive. I feel like through these processes as well, you are able to feel your intuition more and then you're able to listen to what your body is speaking to you more. And then it's just like this relationship that you have with your physical vessel that most of us don't have unless we do, we apply these types of methods. And so now I feel like I'm in a phase where now I just intuitively know where I am in my cycle. I know, you know, based off of the timing and I can just hear my body. Yeah. Like I have this crazy athlete in me. I was an athlete my whole life. And so that athlete in me is like, let's go sprint 6 miles and fucking go, you know, but then my body will say, absolutely not. You know, like that's not happening. Mm-hmm. If it's not the right phase, if I'm in my luteal phase, I'm not going hard because my body literally hurt at the thought of it.
Yeah.
So it opens up this whole new world of the communication systems that happen between your mind and your body, which is so beautiful.
Yeah.
So
much wisdom.
I would love to, we talked about it this in the voice memos. I'm like, I would love to go into even more taboo. I mean, I already told everybody that I put blood on my face, so I don't know what's more taboo than that, but I would love to, if there's any like taboo or really, if there's anything really like alive within you right now around these topics, around this theme that want to come through you and want us to speak to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Thank you for that invitation.
Yeah.
You know, something that I honestly have just kind of been battling with within myself as of recently is, and I kind of touched on it already, is just this like very deep anger and rage that the more I learn about just how deep the oppression of women goes. Like, it makes my blood boil to this, like, point. And so something that I've really been struggling with within myself lately is, like, I actually can't tell you how many videos I've made for TikTok, and I've ended up deleting them because after the fact, I've looked at it and been like, Jess, that video did not come from a place of love. Like, that was rage. Like, that was, like, and really trying to hold myself accountable to, how do I talk about these things? How do I bring awareness to the oppression that has been happening for a very long time? Because I think to some extent, well, one, this trauma lives within all of us as women. Like, and if you've been a woman in a past life, which most of us, it has been passed down generationally, yeah, and it's in the fiber of our being, the abuse that has happened, the genocide of women in so many ways, like, it's wild. And I think that in order for us to experience freedom, like, we have to heal through, we have to release this from our bodies, right? And I think that as women, there's so much that women don't know and don't understand that for me, like, when I started learning about some of these things, it makes me so infuriated because I'm like, oh my gosh, we're literally being bullied. We're being, like, brainwashed basically in all these different areas. Like, I made a video the other day about how women are getting physically ill with disease because of unrealistic beauty standards. Because if you look at, like, to zoom out here, basically, 80% of women, or 80% of people, for example, that experience any autoimmune disease, multiple sclerosis, fibromyalgia, diseases like Alzheimer's, dementia, all of these things are now being tied back to hormonal imbalances. A big thing that causes hormonal imbalances is the products that we put into our bodies, because so many of the products that are on every fucking store and Sephora and Target and, you know, what every single influencer on TikTok is saying they're slathering their skin with, like, our skin absorbs everything. There's no barrier. And the more of these toxic products that we put into our skin, they're full of something called xenoestrogens, which are basically fake estrogens that are toxic, that are causing women to have extreme hormonal imbalances, things like infertility issues, fibroids, endometriosis, PCOS, now all of these, like, far more serious diseases. And I just, like, sat here the other day and I was like, I'm so fucking mad about this, because there has been all of this conditioning that women have to look a certain way, that God forbid we get a wrinkle, that we get a gray hair. Like, there has been so much pressure into women needing to be small, women needing to shrink themselves, women needing to diet, all these things that have forced us to live against our natural biology, right? Like, the whole low-fat crazed diet of the 90s, like, that the low-fat diet is the worst thing for female hormones, literally the worst, right? And so when you look at this from this bigger picture of, like, we have been brainwashed into believing that in order to be beautiful, or to be even accepted, to be fucking accepted at, like, a base level, we have to do all of these things to ourselves. We have to alter, quite literally alter, our physical being. And it's making us fucking sick. It is literally killing women. And now I'm seeing videos. I saw a video on TikTok the other day of, like, a 4-year-old girl and her mom's putting makeup on her. And I almost, like, lost my damn mind. Because it's like,
wow.
And so to bring it back home, I'm trying to figure out, like, how do I speak about these things? How do I open? I want women to see the truth, right? I want women to know, like, your body is beautiful just how it is. Like, you don't have to put Botox and fillers in your face. You don't have to dye your hair. You don't have to slather your skin with anti-aging creams. Like, you don't have to do any of these things. Like, you're beautiful and perfect how you are. And like, I find myself struggling with how to talk about these things without my rage coming forward, because I'm like, and this is all, like, all of these impositions that have been put on us have been, are from men. Like, it's all coming from men. Like, all of these completely unrealistic standards. Like, I mean, everything. Women not being able to express themselves. Like, like, why don't women express ourselves now? Because we were fucking burned at the stake before. So, no,
we're
shit.
Scared.
Of course, we're scared.
Scared.
We're literally scared. And what happens when we don't speak our truth? That lives inside of our bodies. That manifests into physical diseases. Right. Like,
so I have a, thank you for sharing that.
Sorry, that was a lot.
No. I can handle all of it. Don't worry. I love it. I'm here for it. I'm here for all truths, all expressions, you know, and I may have a little bit different of a perspective around rage, because me and one of my really good friends, we say that we used to be rage queens in the past, like, because I did, like, I was just angry and frustrated a lot, and that still exists within me. And you said something around, like, deleting the videos, and, you know, because it, you felt like it wasn't coming from a place of love, but I feel that your rage has a seat at the table, and I'm not saying that you don't feel that, but I feel like the rage, the anger, the sacred feminine rage is like this wildfire.
Yeah.
And we did a rage workshop at the retreat that I created last year, and it was
amazing.
Fucking powerful. Like, we started with some womb work. We started tapping on the womb and humming and connecting. And then we, you know, got into, my co-facilitator guided, like, the rage aspect. And then, you know, the women went to the side of the yoga shala and started screaming at the mountains. And they were, like, shaking and, like, these things that, these traumas, these stored emotions, this anger. We're told that anger is not feminine, right? But anger and frustration is going to be and is the on the forefront of change.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yes. Yes.
And so I would invite you to fucking post the video no matter what. Even if you feel like it's not coming from a place of love, it is, though, because you love women and you love humans and you want the world to change. And I think we need to share more of those feelings, you know?
Yeah.
Even if it's not on brand or it feels like scary, like, that part of you is so powerful too.
Yeah. Thank you for saying
it's
that.
It's a catalyst for change.
Yeah. No, I do agree. I mean, I 100% agree with you. Like, I mean, I think that our rage, like, doing rage work is so powerful and it's so important. And, like, we need to feel that rage because we'll never release it if we don't feel it, you know? Yeah, this
is
something I'm going to sit with after a week, after this podcast for sure, just because, and I do believe that anger and rage is oftentimes a catalyst for change. Like, why do revolutions happen, right? Because enough people finally get fed the fuck up and they're like, no, this is not okay. We enough is enough, you know? And that's kind of the standpoint that I've been coming from and working from in recent is kind of coming from this place of, like, I want to see a revolution. Like, I want a feminine revolution. I want women to be stepping into their power, you know? And sometimes in order to step into your power, you have to realize just how much power was taken from you in order to be able to step into it, you know? And so I'm finding my voice on this, you know, on all of this in terms of, like, how to speak into it. Because I definitely want to invoke the emotion, because I think that's a huge part of it. But I'm also like wanting to be very sensitive to the fact that there is already so much anger and hate in the world right now. And so there's like this part of me where I'm like, well, the last thing that I want to do is add more fuel onto that fire, because we do, you know what I mean? Like there's so much anger, hate, and rage going on right now, and valid. There's so many valid reasons for it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm just trying to like find the place of like where I can speak into it and let this holy rage come through me, while also making sure that it's still like anchored in a place that isn't going to incite, maybe, I don't know, like that's going to add fuel to the fire in like a not so good way, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that
that level of intention and awareness is really beautiful too, because I didn't think about it in that way. Right. Like, yeah, we are, with the work that we're doing, we want to be the change, but we want to be the change in a positive way. And these topics can also be very triggering too.
Very triggering. Very, very, very triggering, you know? And you can get into topics around birth control. And, you know, that's another huge thing that's like very triggering, because you have women who are on, you know, of course I'm on this side of the camp of every woman has a right to choose what she does with her body. But also, most women have never been given informed consent when it comes to birth control. Again, this is another huge thing where the facts have been hidden. And so there's like trying to broach these conversations of like, listen, ladies, I'm not trying to tell you what to do or to tell you like, this is bad and don't do this, because I'm not going to sit here and take away your right to choose.
Right.
But also, you don't know the facts. Oh, so many, they've been hidden from us. They've been kept from us, you know?
Yeah.
And
the most traumatic experiences I've ever had have been from OBGYNs.
Oh, girl.
And
female, I'm so sorry,
health doctors.
Yeah.
I'm forcing so something on to me, essentially like playing with my fear of getting pregnant again, because I was, and I had an abortion and when I was 20, you know, and that doctor was essentially like, as I'm coming out of the twilight after the procedure, the doctor said, we need to get you on the books. And this was a female, this was a woman. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, we need to get you on birth control. And I was like, I had always intuitively, my body had intuitively rejected birth control. Mm-hmm. Not to say I hadn't taken plan B, you know, and other things, but primarily just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
And she said, do you want this to happen again? Mm-hmm. I'm 20. Coming out of this traumatic experience in a, you know, terrible relationship with my boyfriend at the time, like, and she says that, and I'm like, right? And then I end up getting an IUD, and it was the copper one, and I had a traumatic experience where it expelled 2 years later. My periods were terrible. I had, like, the worst experience with all of that, and that's... I know so many women like that have been through similar things, where it's like these people that we are supposed to be learning about our health from, learning about our reproductive health, learning about what's being put and shoved into our bodies and forced, like sometimes forced upon us.
Yeah.
They don't have our, you know, our health and our happiness and our desires in mind at all. And so that also speaks to what you were saying, like
it's another form of control, it's another form of manipulation, it's another form of oppression. I mean, it's just, I mean, birth control is a $13 billion industry, you know, so of course it's going to
be
it's huge. It's like an insane moneymaker, you know. And like the fact of the matter is that a woman on birth control essentially has the same hormonal makeup as a 70-year-old woman. Like, you become like a woman on in menopause. Like you have basically no estrogen. Like that's why a lot of women who are on birth control don't experience a sex drive anymore. It completely shuts down a perfectly, it's the only thing out there actually that completely shuts down and suppresses a completely functioning like system within the human body. And so it's like, it's poison. It shrinks our clitoris. It ages our cervix. It completely strips our bodies of all the essential nutrients and vitamins that we need. Like it is literally poison for our bodies. And, you know, it's kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning of like, if you want to control the most powerful beings on this planet, what do? You disconnect them from their power source. What do? You keep them muted. What do? You make them do things and make them believe that they don't have a choice. Like, you know, to some extent, I'm like, this, it's a form of like spiritual warfare. You're looking at it from like this, like even bigger picture, you know? And it's like, it's heartbreaking. And this is the stuff that's not like talked about enough, you know, and it needs to be part of the conversation because like I talk to women all the time who then want to start a family, and it can take a woman 18 months to 2 years after coming off of birth control for your normal hormonal functions to start operating again, you know, and birth control just puts a mask on any underlying hormonal systems. So like I was talking to a woman the other day, she was put on birth control when she was 14. She's 32 now. Like she's never experienced, her adult female body has never once experienced an actual real hormonal cycle or a period or anything. And then you have these women coming off birth control who are so excited to start a family and have children only to like then find out, no, because there's all these underlying issues. And now they have to spend thousands of dollars going through IVF therapy and all of these things. Like, it's just like.
That is so crazy. Because I have friends that started, like, got put on at, like, 12, 13. We know nothing about our bodies at that age. And they're like, oh, right. I got it for acne. Or, oh, I got it for, like, whatever the stupid excuse was that the doctor told them, right?
Yeah.
And then to not experience your cycle for
womanhood
over a decade,
it
feels so robotic. It feels so like, like you're not really living.
No. And you know,
as a woman, like,
it's true. It's really, it's true. And the history of birth control is actually very dark and very fucked up. Like the women who were originally forced into the research studies for birth control, like
Americans,
it was Puerto Rican women. And like they were never given aid. There was no consent. There was nothing. Like they went through so many horrific things. Crazily enough, when the testing finally got to the point that it actually made it to American women, when birth control was created, women still got a period. And then the two men decided that, for whatever reason, they were like, oh, we're gonna like have this as a sell. We're gonna actually create it so that it suppresses the period is a selling point to women. So when women were doing these these research studies, now this is like, think about back in the 60s, like having a period was very normal. Like there was never this, like having a period was never not an, or you had a period, right?
Right.
So when these women were doing these initial in the research studies and they weren't getting a period, they actually went to the researchers and they were like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, we don't like this. Like, this feels like there's something wrong. So the doctors went back to the lab and they tweaked their formula so that women would, so that they would bleed, but it's not a real bleed. It's a placebo bleed. So even women who are on hormonal birth control that are having their period, it's not a real period because hormonal birth control, it's suppressing ovulation. And in order to have a period, you have to ovulate. And so basically when you take like the placebo pill, or like when you get into the, you know, the stage where your period would be in the cycle when you're on hormonal birth control, the bleed that's happening is called a withdrawal bleed because you're not getting the hormones pumped into your body. So you're bleeding because your body isn't getting the hormones pumped into it. It's not real. And so like, this is the like really like even crazier thing. It's like, there's a lot.
I didn't know that. Oh my.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
wow. And imagine that buildup. Imagine that buildup of like toxins and emotions and energy and that you haven't had from a release for years.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it alters your, this is another crazy thing. It alters your genetic. Okay. So, you know, like we're attracted to people because of like pheromones, basically. There's this gene. It's called the MHC or MCH. I think it's MHC gene that basically determines like who we're attracted to through scent. So yeah. Women who are not on hormonal birth control, we are naturally attracted to men who have the opposite MHC gene from us, because basically that ensures long-term compatibility and healthy children, right? Because if you think about incest, for example, the closer the DNA is, the more chances there are for things to go sideways, right?
Right.
While women who are on birth control are more attracted to men who have a similar MHC gene to them. So almost like family.
What?
So what these studies are now showing is that women are choosing the wrong partners. Yeah. And that when women get off of hormonal birth control, there's a recent study that was done with like hundreds and hundreds of couples. And basically when the women got off hormonal birth control, they were no longer attracted to their partners anymore. Like they were like, because the birth control, they met them when they were on birth control and it completely altered. Like, it's just crazy. It's just wild. And it's like, this is the kind of stuff that is like hidden from us that makes me so angry.
Like, it gives me like, yeah. It gives me Handmaid's Tale vibes.
Yeah. It's.
Because the women, I don't know your entire birth control story, but I know that the women like myself who have really never been on a hormonal birth control, that's few and far between, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't really know if I have any friend that has not been on it before. Yeah. And so we're all being altered in this way.
Yeah. And it's just like also so fascinating to me when you think about like all of the things that are directed at us as women, like just actually speak volumes to how powerful we actually are. Because if we weren't so powerful, there wouldn't be so much energy and time and resources put into trying to keep us small. So that's why I'm just like, all right, ladies, it's time. Like, it's time for us to own who the fuck we are. It's enough is enough. It's time for us to take our power back, you know, and, you know, that's why I'm like one of the most, like, I honestly believe I'm like learning about your cycle, embracing your cycle, learning to love your period. Like, it's an act of rebellion. It is an act of rebellion in a world that has worked so hard to keep us disconnected. Every single time a woman says like, no, I'm choosing my body. I'm choosing my own sovereign authority. I'm choosing my intuition. Like, it's an act of rebellion in a world that is trying so desperately to keep lids on us.
Yeah. Well, we are rebels. High five.
We're rebels. Woo!
Should we bring it home with the topic around the power of the feminine sexuality?
Ooh. Yeah, yes.
I would also love to know a little bit, maybe to sprinkle it in there, a little bit around your journey and your own liberation to these topics.
Oh, yes. This is my favorite topic because, staying on with the theme of how we've been controlled, You know, I think one of the biggest misconceptions about our sexuality is that it's about sex. Like, our sexuality is about, like, sex is only a small part of it, right? In all reality. Like, as women, our sexual sovereignty, our sexual power is synonymous with our life force energy. Like, it is the seat of our creative power. It is how, I mean, it is the place that we create from, both energetically and physically, you know? And so this is why I think as women, it's so important for us to reclaim our sexuality and reclaim our pleasure and our right to pleasure, because, like, pleasure is our birthright.
Yeah.
Like, and when you look at the female anatomy, the clitoris is the only organ on the entire human body that only has one purpose. And its only sole purpose pleasure. Is pleasure. That's it. Like, that's it. It's like our bodies were literally designed and coded for pleasure. And, you know, when you think about bigger concepts, like, you know, like, what is my purpose, or why am I here? Like, I believe that as women, our purpose is our pleasure. Our purpose is our joy, because all of life benefits when women are living for their pleasure and for their joy. This is when women are standing in their sovereign power and authority. This is when we cannot be manipulated and swayed. This is when we're confident. This is when we create. Like, this is when we change frequencies, you know? And so we've had so much stifling, though.
Hear me? Okay. You know, we've been so stifled, and we've been conditioned to believe that our sexuality is shameful and that it's something we have to hide. And all of the conditioning around the feminine of, like, well, if you like sex, you're a slut. Or if, you know, you do, like, there's just, it's.
Don't get me started.
It's crazy, you know? And so, yeah. Like, for me, when I talk about, like, sexuality and sexual awakening, it's so much more, like, yes, claiming your, like, sexuality and your sexual pleasure is so incredibly important. And, like, reestablishing a relationship with your pussy and, like, letting that pleasure be a guide for you in life and connecting to your body in that way. It's like the most empowering relationship as a woman, you know, that you can have. But it's so much bigger than that, too. It is literally where our life force stems from. And, like, for myself, you know, I mentioned, I think, in the beginning, so I, you know, have experienced a fair amount of sexual trauma in my life. I was sexually abused by my grandpa when I was a little girl. And then, you know, but I know that that's just part of, like, that whole experience was needed in order for me to liberate myself as a woman, you know? And so, and the other, like, subsequent traumas and things that happened after that, because all of those things led to me having a very distortive relationship with my own sexuality. And so there was this, like, whole journey that had to take place to heal those things, to heal the parts within myself, to reclaim the parts of myself that I would never have experienced the, like, liberation that I have now, if but for those things having happened, you know? And I believe that as souls, like, we are pure innocence and light, and that on a soul level, we go into soul contracts with people before we come to Earth, where we agree to play roles for each other. And, you know, I believe that, and I have so much compassion for my grandpa, because I can't even imagine, like, the sacrifice that he made when his soul agreed to come here on Earth and play that role for me. You know, and, like, what he had to live with and experience in his human existence so that I could go through all of that and heal and experience this liberation, you know? Yeah, it reminds me of so many topics that you hear, like on the awakening journey, that number one, it's such a gift that you were able to get to that level of a higher perspective around the abuse and around what you have been through, because you've liberated yourself out of victim mentality.
Thank you.
And yeah, it's definitely, okay, we're good. Sorry. It's definitely, it takes a lot to get there, but it reminds me of a few things that I've seen along my path. One of the quotes being like, sometimes the people that hurt you the most are actually the souls that love you the most, because they want to see you evolve from that level of pain, because that's usually what happens. You either go all the way down and you're done, you're kaput, right? Or you rise way higher because of what you've experienced. So I just want to share that because that is a master level of alchemy, my love.
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that. I'm receiving that. It took work, you know, it took a lot of work and a lot of healing, you know, in my womb. And as women, we carry this pain, trauma, pain, all of these things in our womb, you know, and part of the beauty of being a woman is that we have the power to alchemize it. You know, just as much as our womb holds the trauma and the pain, it's also the portal for transmutation. And it's also the portal of all creation. And so we can take what's living inside of our wombs and transmute it into pure power if we so choose, you know? And so that's like really the message that if there's, you know, the women who are listening to this, is like, anything that we experience in this lifetime, like, we're powerful enough to change the narrative. We're powerful enough to take the pain, alchemize it into power. We are that powerful, like, you know, and reclaiming our relationship with our sexuality and like healing the shame. And I mean, it's huge. I think it's some of the deepest work that we can do as women, and the most powerful work. And I think that when we start to rebuild that relationship with our sexuality and our sexual primal nature, like, it's who we are. It's coded into our DNA. And it's the same concept almost with our period. It's an intrinsic part of us. So when you choose to disconnect and reject a part of you that's so intrinsic and inherent, how can you truly love yourself? How can you truly accept yourself? How can you truly show up in your fullest expression as a woman if you're rejecting parts of yourself, you know, and if you're fragmenting? And we've been so conditioned to like fragment and to judge and to shame and to think this is wrong and this is bad and this is good and I can accept this part, but I have to reject this part. And then we wonder why we struggle to love and accept ourselves, when it's like, well, it's hard to love a lot of these, it's hard to love a lot of pieces, you know? So it's really just this, it's like our bodies are this blueprint that are just this roadmap to bringing us home back to ourselves, to bringing us home back to our power, bringing us home back to our womanhood. It's all right here.
Yes. And cleansing. So I know a lot of women where like sex was such an unconscious thing, right? Like myself included, when I in my beginning stages of exploring that in my life, like, it was literally just an unconscious automatic thing. And I was just like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to do this. Ha ha. Like, no, you know, it's so unconscious. And so as time goes on and you learn about these concepts, you learn about this information, and you also choose to release the shame and the judgment, number one, from the past, right? Because you were just doing what you thought you were supposed to do, or what you were told to do, or whatever. In my case, remove that shame, forgive yourself yourself, and then clear the energy from your womb, doing intentional womb clearing of like, clearing of your past partners, clearing of your past traumas, intentional connection to opening the portal, clearing of shame and judgment around your parts, around how you look, right? Like, it's like a thumbprint. They all look different, you know? Like, this isn't porn stars where we're getting things like clipped and bleached. And, you know? And then for me, where I'm at with the feminine sexuality, with my sacral energy is, and everybody's different, right? Like, for me, I've cleared all of that. So I'm like, if you are my person, okay, great. I will let you in. But right now, all of that energy is being stored and cleansed and cleared and protected from people that are not, you know, meeting my standards, honestly. And utilizing that stored energy to create, not life at this point in my life, but to create my creations, to give to myself, pour into myself, to pour into my friends, my family, like my life. And that's another transmutation. It's like that sexual energy is like an elixir for life. And it doesn't have to be for another person if you're not in that place where you want to be physical with someone. And it doesn't have to be for a mate.
It's for you.
Life to your life.
Yes. Like, oh my gosh, such a huge topic. But I think that's another big thing is like, we've been conditioned to believe that our sexuality is interdependent on relationship, but our sexuality is not interdependent or does not need to be commingled in relationship. I would argue it's actually the opposite. I think that like the relationship we have with our own sexuality and channeling that energy is like so potent and so powerful. And the more you nurture that energy, like the more it expands, the more it grows. And then when you do decide to bring a partner into the equation, it's going to become very apparent really quickly if they're amplifying that energy or if they're draining it or if they're taking it away. So it's like, that's why I think it's so important for women, like, cultivate your sexual energy, have a deeply sexual relationship with yourself, have a self-pleasure practice where you're like touching yourself, exploring your body. Like I remember when I wanted to like, I was like, I was bound and determined to have a G-spot orgasm and I'd never had one with a man before. So I was like I literally approached this like a mad scientist. I like had my dildo, my vibrator. And every afternoon,
I take a sip of water. I'm like, oh, I'm thirsty.
Oh my gosh. Every afternoon, I dedicated time every single day, literally every single day until it happened. And I was like, okay. And so I think, and then after that, I was like, okay, now like, it's like learning to understand what your body is capable of and what it needs, you know, and how to like, and of course, like if you can then explore that with a partner, like then it's, again, it's either going to amplify it and it's either going to take your sexual experiences to like otherworldly, incredibly orgasmically blissful experiences, or it's going to
otherworldly,
or it's going to highlight like, I don't know. But, and I think too, when it comes to like healing sexually, like, I mean, for myself personally, having a very conscious sexual relationship has been a huge element in healing sexual trauma. Like, it's been a huge part of me being able to like speak into things and to allow, like, there's, you know, so many pieces to that. And so I think that, you know, when you're talking about sexuality in the context of another partner, it can also be so incredibly healing, you know. But I think, you know, like you said, when I was younger, I was like so willy-nilly, like I didn't even, I'm like, oh, he's cute, cool, let's go, you know, versus like, as I, you know, progressed in life and before I, like, met my now partner, I was at this place in my life where I'm like, energetically, like, I need to have a very good feeling about you energetically if I'm going to invite you into my womb, like if you are going to receive an invitation into my body, like there's certain things that I'm going to need to.
It better be a fuck yes from my mind, my body, my soul, my spirit, guides.
Like, my ancestors. Better be like, yes, you know, and that doesn't. And that doesn't mean that you can't still have, like, I have one night stands where, like, energetically, I was like, this is a yes for me. And whatever happens, if I never see this human again, like, I don't care because there is a connection here. There's chemistry. There's all of these other things, like, you know. And I think this is where the conditioning comes into play, that we've been conditioned to believe that, like, certain things are wrong or, you know, there's judgment or shame around things. But I think whenever you're approaching anything with consciousness and awareness and intentionality, like there is no wrong, you know, like there's always an invitation to love and to, you know, co-creating a magical experience. And it can be, you know, even a one night stand can be super healing, you know, in the right context, but so much like destigmatizing that needs to happen on this whole topic.
Well, we have definitely laid the groundwork for hopefully many people to start destigmatizing all of these topics. Yeah. You know, like, I just feel so nourished, so like full. Mm. From this conversation and from everything that we spoke to. And I could literally keep going for like 3 hours. Honestly, every time we talk, it's like another topic comes up and then another topic. I'm like, should we go there? But of course, you know, this is going to be divided into two episodes. So we will wrap it up with anything that you feel like still needs to come through you today, if needed.
You know, I guess I would just say, gosh, I'm like, women are just so incredible and so amazing. You know, like we truly are, like we're these walking, breathing, living miracles. And there's no, like, when it comes to any of this stuff, it's like there's no right or wrong, you know, like all of this is new territory for all of us. Like, we're all just here on this journey of exploration together. And so I would just encourage, like, any woman who is listening, who is like, your curiosity is sparked, to just follow that curiosity and just like approach all of this coming from a place of just like playfulness and curiosity. And because so many women that I work with, like, will learn, you know, about cycle syncing or some of these things. And it's really funny because then they want to like attack it almost in a very masculine way of like, it then becomes like,
exactly.
There's almost these like performance measures and things, you know? And so I would just encourage, like, you know, approach any of this with just curiosity and play. And the more love and compassion and gentleness you can invite in for yourself and your body, you know, our beautiful bodies have gone through so much and carried us through so much and so many lifetimes. And we're so hard on them and we push them and judge them. And at the end of the day, they just want our love. You know, they just want our love and our tenderness and our compassion. And, you know, we're all just little girls trying to figure it out. And, you know, I think the last thing I would say is just like any woman listening to this, like, I think community and sisterhood, it's just so incredibly important. More so now than ever. So like, find your people, you know, find the women. Like, if these topics are topics that are you're curious about and you want to learn more about, or you like look at your current friend group and you don't feel like it's maybe a safe space, there are so many women out there. Like, Danielle, I know you have like a private Discord group. Like, I have a private Telegram group that's all free. You know, like, I know we're trying to co-create these spaces for women to come who want to explore these things. And like, you and I, we connected on TikTok, and like, there's sisterhood that in community that can be found. Doesn't even have to be like we're on opposite sides of the world from each other, you know? And there's just, when we talk about the rise of the feminine and this beautiful feminine energy, like, the more it's like we rise together, you know, we rise together when we come together. And absolutely. And there's so much power and healing to be found in circles and sisterhood. And, you know, I hope we need each other. We really, really do. Like, we're not meant to go at all this alone. We're just not. And if we try, it's way harder. It doesn't have to be that hard, you know?
You don't have to carry it all by yourself, you know? It really takes a village for every aspect.
Yeah, it really does. And yeah, just thank you so much for having me. This has been such a beautiful conversation, and it's been so nice, like, just, you know, following you and knowing like a little bit about you and like the work that you're doing. Like, I was so excited for this conversation because I was like, I know we can go there, you know, like, and I know all the type places of women like who are following you are like women who are probably going to also want to go there, you know? So I just want to thank you for like this gift of me being able to come on here and just speak really freely and candidly about some of these like topics that are a little bit more taboo, that, you know, that need to get out there. And women like you having platforms like this are how that happens, you know? So thank you, sister, for having me. This has been such a blessing.
Thank you so much. I received that, and I feel the exact same way. And two more questions. On the record. Divinely guided, yes. Baby. Okay, two more questions. Number one, this is just more so about your business and your platforms. Number one, something that you're creating right now that maybe you want to plug that you're super excited about. Tell me.
Yes, I am in the process of actually creating a sexual awakening program. So okay, that makes me so happy. It is basically, as of right now, it's an 8 or 9 modules. So it's going to be fully online, fully self-paced. And most of it it's a lot of somatic movement. So it's a lot of like getting into the body. There's everything from guided self-pleasure practices, erotic body mapping, like really moving into some like very, very,
wow.
I have everything from like curated like playlists to pussy breath work to like, it's like very, I'm super excited about it. So that is something that is coming soon. I thought that it was at a point of almost being finished, and then I received a download that it needed to not be finished yet. So it's still in the process. But that's kind of like the next big like project on the horizon. But if you're interested in like cycle syncing information, I have ebooks, journals, e-guides on my website. Some of them are free. I have a cycle syncing journal on Amazon, which is amazing. It takes you through 3 full cycles of your menstrual cycle. You know, of course, I do one-on-one work, and I have a free Telegram group.
Oh my God, you're such a queen.
You're a queen. We're both queens.
Like,
the queen in me, the queen in you. So, yeah.
Wow, you're incredible. Overall,
so are you.
Thank you. So drop your handles and your website.
So social handles are awaken_the_wild. And website is awakenthewild.net. Couldn't get .com.
I know, I emailed .com, and I was like, oops, I got a response back saying it didn't go through. I'm like, oopsie. Beautiful. Thank you so, so much. And I always like to leave my guests on, I always like to put them on the spot with my last question. So just close your eyes, feel into it, okay? If there was one thing that you could say that would be essentially blasted to every single person on this planet and plant a seed for change, what would it be?
Women embracing their menstrual cycles is the key to everything. It's the key to unlocking your power. It is the key to bringing balance back to your feminine energy. It's the key to healing this planet. It's everything.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time, your energy, your wisdom, your knowledge.
She was an incredible favor. And like, subscribe, share, rate, do all the things to help this podcast keep going. And if you want to be a gem and you want to support the ongoing production of this podcast, you can also go to my snip feed for the podcast, which is located in the link in the podcast Instagram, Limitless Being Podcast on Instagram. There's a snip feed if you'd like to donate. That would mean everything to us so that we can keep the production of this podcast. Again, like, share, subscribe. Tell me what you think. Tell me how you feel. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day.